threat. Did you tell lawmakers that there was an imminent threat?
There absolutely was an imminent threat. And the imminent threat was that we knew that if Iran was attacked, and we believed they would be attacked, that they would immediately come after us. And we were not going to sit there and absorb a blow before we responded. Because the Department of War assessed that if we did that, if we waited for them to hit us first after they were attacked, and by someone else, Israel attacked them, they hit us first, and we waited for them to hit us, we would suffer more casualties and more deaths. We went proactively in a defensive way to prevent them from inflicting higher damage. Had we not done so, there would have been hearings on Capitol Hill about how we knew that this was going to happen and we didn't act preemptively to prevent more casualties and more loss of life.
This is my video update on this Tuesday afternoon, March the 3rd, coming to you from Limassol, Cyprus. Let's talk about some news. And let's start things off with a post from U.S. President Donald J. Trump. He is replying to referencing an article from the Washington Post, an opinion piece which says, "We're witnessing the birth of the Trump doctrine." Mark Thiessen, who says, "Like Reagan, the president has found a way to change the world without putting boots on the ground." And then Trump says, "Their air defense, Air Force, Navy, and leadership is gone. They want to talk. I said too late," and he has a link to this Washington Post article. So it looks like Trump is just about ready to declare victory as the United States and Israel are hammering Iran. They are launching massive strikes into Tehran. Iran has had to shut down their nuclear reactor, their nuclear energy facilities, some oil facilities. They're shutting down all of these energy facilities because of the massive strikes that are taking place throughout Iran at the moment. So Trump, he gave an interview to CNN, and he said that the big wave is about to come, the big attack, the big wave of attacks are about to come, that the United States has not even started their attacks against Iran. He gave an interview to the New York Post where he did not rule out boots on the ground. He did not rule out U.S. boots on the ground. He said that that many presidents in the past, they always say no boots on the ground, but Trump said, "I'm not like the other presidents. I don't want boots on the ground, but I'm not going to rule out boots on the ground." Hegseth gave a press conference yesterday, and he was asked by a reporter of U.S. boots on the ground, and Hegseth did not rule out U.S. boots on the ground. And Rubio spoke to the media yesterday, and he was asked about U.S. boots on the ground, and he did not rule out U.S. boots on the ground. Now, Trump, in this interview with the New York Post, he also said that the United States is ahead of schedule, at least when it comes to the decapitation strikes. So the New York Post, their article, has the title, "Trump won't rule out sending U.S. troops into Iran if necessary, tells Post war is progressing way ahead of schedule." That's a bit of a misleading title, at least the second part of that title. Trump said that the United States is ahead of schedule when it came to killing top officials in Iran. Let me read you exactly what Trump said. "It's going to go pretty quickly. We're right on schedule, way ahead of schedule in terms of leadership. 49 killed, and that was, you know, going to take, we figured, at least 4 weeks, and we did it in one day." So the narrative now is that, the story is that the decapitation strikes were going to take 4 weeks. But because they did it in one day, they are ahead of schedule. The only thing that's missing are the protests the Iranians rising up to overthrow the government or whatever is left of the government. That, I guess, was the plan. That was the plan. Not I guess. That was the plan. I think everyone has come to understand that this was the plan. But Trump is telling the New York Post that the decapitation strikes were expected to take 4 weeks, but they took 1 day. But we are not seeing the Iranians rise up to take back their country. They like using that line. Take back your country. That is what Trump is saying. That's what all of his White House officials are saying. That's what all of the European vassals are scripted and taught and ordered, instructed to say. Take back your country, Iran. Take back your country. Graham is saying this. Iranians, take back your country. Rise up and take back your country. But anyway, that is that was Trump's interview to the New York Post. So boots on the ground. They're not ruling it out, but it may not be U.S. boots on the ground. What we may actually see, at least the first boots on the ground, may be coming from the Kurds or even ISIS. Axios, I believe it was Axios, they reported that Netanyahu has been in talks with the Kurds for a while now to try and recruit them to stir up trouble in Iran and perhaps to even enter Iran. We're not talking about the Kurds in Iran, of course, to stir up trouble with the Kurds, the Kurdish population in Iran, but also Kurds outside of Iran if they would be so kind to enter Iran and to help with the regime change. That's pretty much what is being reported. Netanyahu has been talking to the Kurds and trying to recruit the Kurds. And we also have reports which claim that perhaps ISIS may be eventually recruited to try and enter Iran and cause trouble. So boots on the ground, at least the first part of boots on the ground, may not be American boots, or at least not completely American military in Iran. Maybe a small contingent of American forces may enter Iran, or may try to enter Iran in order to try and coordinate the boots on the ground, which may come from the Kurds or may come from ISIS. So those are the reports with regards to boots on the ground. And then Trump, he's been busy posting on Truth Social about ammunitions running low. And this is what Trump said with regards to stockpiles. And this shows that Trump is reading the news. And he is getting the reports. Let's go down there. He is getting the reports about ammunitions running low. We are getting reports which say that the Gulf countries, the countries in the region that are being hammered by Iran, that they have maybe 2 to 4 or 5 days left of interceptors, of air defense, and then they're all tapped out, and they're asking the United States to provide more missiles, more interceptors, and the United States, the U.S. military, is stonewalling them. They're kind of not replying. They're calling up the U.S. saying, we're going to run out in 4 days, and the U.S. is just not picking up the phone. The reports claim that the U.S. is sending whatever they have to Israel in order to protect Israel. And now they are having to go around the world, to go to their vassals around the world and try to find air defense systems and interceptors. They're going to South Korea. Many reports claim that the United States is telling South Korea to give up their THAAD. I wonder what North Korea is saying about this, huh? North Korea has nukes. I'm sure they're watching on with great interest at the news that South Korea may be forced to give up their THAAD. But here's what Trump posted on Truth Social. The United States munitions stockpiles have, at the medium and upper grade, never been higher or better. They've never been better. As was stated to me today, we have a virtually unlimited supply of these weapons. Wars can be fought forever and very successfully using just these supplies, which are better than other countries' finest arms. At the highest end, we have a good supply, but are not where we want to be. Much additional high-grade weaponry is stored for us in outlying countries. Sleepy Joe Biden spent all of his time and our country's money giving everything to P.T. Barnum Zelensky of Ukraine, hundreds of billions of dollars worth. And while he gave so much of the super high-end away free, he didn't bother to replace it. Fortunately, I rebuilt the military in my first term and continue to do so. The United States is stocked and ready to win big. That's in all caps. Thank you for your attention to this matter, President Donald J. Trump. Zelensky is now P.T. Barnum of Ukraine. Le Barnum there. Le Goblin Barnum. Hey, Podolyak, what is a P.T. Barnum? I have no idea, Mr. President. No idea. Let me look it up. ChatGPT. What's a P.T. Barnum? What is this P.T. Barnum? I'm Churchill. I'm Churchill, Podolyak, Churchill. Anyway. Okay, so unlimited, but not unlimited. His Truth Social post is saying unlimited, but not really unlimited, because we have to now go around the world and search for supplies, for stockpiles. He's saying it in his post. Very, very deceptive Truth Social post, but that's basically what he's saying. And he is putting the blame on Biden. He is blaming Biden for giving up the weapons to P.T. Barnum for free, all caps, free. Okay, so look, this is what Trump is saying. The United States is in it for the long haul. He claims that they have the stockpiles and they're going to find the stockpiles, even though it's not unlimited. Trump is saying it's limited, but it's not unlimited. They're going to go around and they're going to find the stockpiles. And Trump is saying that he's ready to fight a long war. That is his message. So, boots on the ground and the long war. But Trump, according to this Washington Post article, or at least the post, the tweet that I read, it seems as if Trump is very confident that the United States has pretty much won this thing. That is the message from Trump, according to the WAPO. Now, Rubio gave a disaster press conference yesterday, an absolute train wreck of a press conference. The Trump administration, they do not have their messaging down with regards to this conflict. The question is, why did we start this conflict? Why are we at war? And they have not been able to come up with the narrative. They're now starting to, with a narrative, they're now starting to say this is not about regime change. It was never about regime change, even though Trump said a gazillion times it's about regime change. But now they're saying, no, it's not about regime change. It was about killing Khamenei. Or some White House officials are saying it was about killing Khamenei. Other White House officials are saying that it's about destroying Iran's ballistic missiles capabilities. Others are saying that Iran was going to create missiles that were going to hit the United States, so they were an imminent threat. So that's why we had to go to war. Uranium enrichment, you still have some of that narrative out there, but they can't come up with a coherent message as to why the U.S. is fighting this war, when we all know it was about regime change on behalf of Israel. They obviously cannot say that, or at least it's very unpopular for the White House to say that. It is not looking good for Trump in the polls. At least the narrative of fighting a regime change war on behalf of Israel is not looking good for Trump in the polls. So Rubio was asked, why are we in this war? why did we go to war with Iran? And Rubio's answer was a freaking disaster. There was absolutely an imminent threat. And it was that we knew that if Iran was attacked, and we believed that they would be attacked, that they would immediately come after us, and we were not going to sit there and absorb a blow. Rubio actually called striking Iran as going proactively in a defensive way. So Rubio was telling the press that they knew Israel was going to attack Iran. So they knew Israel was about to attack Iran. And so Rubio told the media, we knew Israel was going to attack. And then we knew that Iran was going to retaliate to Israel's attack. And so we had to attack Iran because they were going to retaliate to Israel's initial attack. That's what going proactively in a defensive way means. going proactively in a defensive way. Okay. So the justification is Israel attacks, Iran responds, U.S. gets involved. Therefore, U.S. strikes first. That's not self-defense. That's accelerating the chain on purpose. It was a train wreck of an interview from Rubio, an absolute train wreck of an interview. He also said the entire regime in Iran is led by radical clerics who don't make geopolitical decisions. They make decisions on the basis of theology, their view of theology, which is an apocalyptic one. Doesn't sound like Iran. It does not sound like Iran. Or maybe it is Iran, but I could actually take those words of Rubio's and attribute them to the United States and or to Israel. So anyway, that was Rubio's statement there. It was a disaster. It was a freaking disaster for Rubio. He wasn't fooling anyone. He was not fooling anyone. He also said that that big attacks are coming. He said the big attacks are about to come. And I think we are seeing those attacks unfolding at this very moment. If Iran makes it through today and tomorrow, well, then we're going to have a long war on our hands. But it does look like the U.S. and Israel are throwing everything they have towards Iran. So Trump, he posted on Truth Social that everyone should watch Hannity, because Hannity was going to host Netanyahu. And sure enough, Netanyahu was on Hannity. And Netanyahu talked about how Iran was going to manufacture missiles, was very close to manufacturing missiles, imminent, that Iran was going to get missiles to launch an imminent strike into the United States. And that's why the United States and Israel attacked Iran, because Iran was going to hit the United States. And let me find the quote. And then Netanyahu, he said that the ballistics missiles program and atomic bomb program would have soon been immune to attack. Without Operation Epic Fury, action had to be taken, and you needed the resolute president like Donald J. Trump to take action, right? So so after a certain amount of time, if they did not attack at this very moment, Iran would have created a type of shield. Actually, Rubio said the same thing. They would have created some type of missile shield, which would have made it impossible for the United States to attack them. So Netanyahu said that. He also said that it could be quick and decisive, the conflict, but it may take some time, but it's not going to take years. Good to know. It's not going to take years. You have Netanyahu's word. The conflict is not going to take years. And then Hannity, he asked Netanyahu, or he said this to Netanyahu, there are people that say, well, the Prime Minister of Israel dragged Donald Trump into it. I want to get your reaction to that. And well, let me just Let me just play you the video so you can get the reaction to that statement or that question that Hannity posed to Netanyahu.
And I want to ask you this. You know, there are people that say, well, the prime minister of Israel dragged Donald Trump into it. And as somebody that's been friends with him over 30 years, nobody drags Donald Trump into anything, number one. But I want to get your reaction to that.
Well, you're right. I mean, that's ridiculous. Donald Trump is the strongest leader in the world.
So that was the interview between Hannity and Netanyahu that Trump wanted all of the world to see. By the way, during that interview, Netanyahu was telling Hannity, was telling the American people, pleading and begging with the American people to understand and to believe that the United States and Israel, they are the good guys, and Iran, they are the bad guys. So he was saying that during the interview. We're the good guys. We are the good guys, he was telling Hannity. Hannity, we're the good guys. No, listen, we're the good guys. They're the bad guys. We're the good guys. They are the bad guys. So he was saying that during the interview. If you are the good guys, you don't need to proclaim over and over again that you are the good guys. But anyway, that was the interview that Trump wanted everyone to see between Hannity and Netanyahu. The fact that Trump believes that Netanyahu is the guy to make the case for a just war with Iran is beyond bizarre. But that's what happened yesterday. So Iran, it looks like they hit the U.S. embassy in Saudi Arabia. You know, there are a lot of there are strikes in Saudi Arabia as well as Qatar that reports claim were from Iran, but Iran has come out and said that we were not behind these strikes, and these were actual Israeli false flag strikes. For example, the strikes into Saudi oil, Aramco facilities. Iran came out and said we didn't launch these strikes. The attack into the U.S. Embassy, I believe that has been, well, I don't want to say if it's been confirmed. Actually, I'm not sure, but I do believe that was from Iran. But the strike into the oil facilities in Saudi Arabia, Iran has denied this. They've also denied strikes into some facilities in Qatar. But we're getting reports that Saudi Arabia is now preparing to strike Iran and that Qatar has launched airstrikes into Tehran. So the war is expanding. You know what happens when Saudi Arabia enters the war? The Houthis enter the war. Things are escalating. They are escalating very fast. So you have many of the leaders in the region looking for trusted leadership. They're looking for a rational, pragmatic, trustworthy, bold, strong leader that they can talk to try and wind down this conflict, to try and find an off-ramp. So who do you think they're going to call, huh? Trump is waiting. Trump is waiting because they're going to call Trump, right? All the leaders in the region. No, they're not going to call Trump. They're going to call Russian President Vladimir Putin, and that is what they did. The leaders of the UAE, of Saudi Arabia, I believe of Qatar, many countries in the Gulf region, they called up the Russian president, and they're trying to figure out how to get out of this mess that they are in. So that's who they run to when they need to get a solution. They put themselves in this mess, and now they're running to Russia to try and figure out a way to get an off ramp. But as I said in the beginning of the video, it does look like Trump is very confident that he has this thing wrapped up. So the United States, they put out a message telling U.S. citizens in the region to evacuate. Security updates for Americans in the Middle East. Depart now via commercial means due to serious safety risks. Bahrain, Egypt, Iran, Israel, Jordan, Kuwait, Lebanon, Oman, Qatar, Syria, UAE, Yemen, Saudi Arabia, All the countries are listed there by commercial means. I don't know how they're going to get out by commercial means, because no airports are operating, or very few airports are operating. Or if there are flights that are operating, they are super expensive to book. We're talking $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 for a seat, and maybe even more than that if there are flights that are operating. So Israel invaded Lebanon today as well, so that happened. So we had an Israeli ground invasion into Lebanon. We have an EU, according to Reuters, an EU urgent meeting to discuss the gas crisis. I saw a chart which says that in the UK, gas prices have surged 93% since the start of the war. This is according to Sky News. So the EU is calling an emergency meeting to figure things out with regards to the surging gas prices. And you know what the result of this meeting is going to be? I'll tell you what they're going to decide on. They're going to decide on more sanctions against Russia. That's what they're going to decide. They should be begging Putin to restart Nord Stream. That's what they should be doing, but they're not. They are not. They're going to do the opposite. They're going to announce additional sanctions on Russia. They're going to finish this meeting, this emergency meeting, to deal with the massive spike in gas prices, and it's going to get a lot worse if this war continues. But they're going to come out of this meeting, and Kaya Kallas is going to approach the media, and she is going to say the results of today's meeting was that Russia should be punished for their unprovoked full-scale invasion of Ukraine. So we are going to place additional sanctions on Russia's shadow fleet. But Ms. Kallas, what are you going to do about the 93% spike in gas prices because of the conflict in Iran, the war in Iran? And Kallas is going to say, we're going to sanction Russia. 2021 sanctions package against Russia. That's going to solve everything. Yeah, that's going to be the solution. That's the only solution that they have to all of life's problems. Sanction Russia. That's their solution. So Macron, he gave a speech yesterday talking about France's nuclear weapons, their nuclear deterrent, their nuclear stockpile. And his big announcement was that France is going to increase their nuclear stockpile. And they're not going to tell the world how many nuclear weapons they have. They're going to now keep this all a secret. And who knows? Macron may just provide nukes to various countries in Europe. A lot of countries want to host French nuclear weapons. And Macron is going to keep all of this hush-hush, strategic ambiguity from little Napoleon. So that was his speech yesterday. And I think we can now do some clown worlds. I know there's a whole lot of news that I probably missed, especially with regards to the conflict. Iran's foreign minister Araghchi said the Kuwaitis said their bases were not being used against Iran. If that is so, what were the three fighter jets targeted today doing on Kuwaiti soil? Good point. Three fighter jets were knocked down. They say it was friendly fire from Kuwait. The United States is saying friendly fire from Kuwait. But Araghchi makes the point that that what were these jets doing in Kuwait when Kuwait is saying that they have nothing to do with this conflict? CENTCOM also said, U.S. CENTCOM said that six more U.S. service members have died. That was announced by CENTCOM. Six U.S. service members have been killed in action. U.S. forces recently recovered the remains of two previously unaccounted for service members from a facility that was struck during Iran's initial attacks in the region. Major combat operations continue. The identities of the fallen are being withheld until 24 hours after next of kin notification. So that was announced yesterday as well. And I think now I can get to a clown world. Trump is blaming Obama for his horrendous JCPOA. He said that he stopped Iran from getting a nuclear weapon 3-4 years ago because he tore up Obama's JCPOA. If I didn't terminate Obama's horrendous Iran nuclear deal, the JCPOA, Iran would have had a nuclear weapon 3 years ago. That was the most dangerous transaction we have ever entered into. And had it been allowed to stand, the world would be an entirely different place right now. You can blame Barack Hussein Obama and Sleepy Joe Biden. Thank you, President Trump. So he's blaming Biden for weapons to P.T. Barnum, Le Coblin Vert. He is blaming Obama and Biden for the JCPOA. You can thank President Trump. He wants everyone to thank him because the world would have been a much different place if he did not tear up the JCPOA. It might have been a more peaceful place. Maybe. Probably not. Maybe Trump is right. Probably Trump is right. He did the right thing by tearing up the JCPOA, which was working and was approved by the United Nations, by the Security Council, was being monitored by the European Union. But anyway, he tore it up. He tore the whole thing up so that now we have this war in Iran, which is not going to change the world. No, not Trump. This war is not going to affect the world and change the world. Anyway, that is another one of Trump's gems on social media. So let's do a clown world. One clown world is Le Coblin Vert, who is now saying that any Gulf nations that need air defense help, Ukraine is ready to assist. So that was the statement from Zelensky. Ukraine is ready to provide air defense assistance. And then we have Lindsey Graham. I'm going to have to turn down the audio. One sec. Okay. Music. She was playing music, and music is a YouTube copyright no-no. So anyway, I'm out of the range of the music, so let's get back to Clown World. So Lindsey Graham was speaking to the media, and he said that Trump and Netanyahu are like Churchill and Roosevelt. They are the Churchill and Roosevelt of our time, of our generation. That is what he said. I imagine Trump is Roosevelt and Netanyahu is Churchill, or is Netanyahu Roosevelt and Trump is Churchill? I don't know. Do they know any other historical figures other than Churchill? Is there any history before Churchill or after Churchill when it comes to the globalist neocon Epstein class? Is there any other history, or does it all begin with Churchill and it all ends with Churchill? Everything is Churchill. But once again, it looks like Zelensky, he's been downgraded. He has been downgraded. He used to be Churchill, Podolyak. What's happening? I'm P.T. Barnum, and now I'm no longer Churchill. How can I not be Churchill, Podolyak? I know, Mr. President, it's tough. It's tough. It looks like the Zelensky show is winding down. He's no longer Churchill. And that's his good buddy, Lindsey Graham, saying that. That is like his best friend, his number one pal, Lindsey Graham, saying that Netanyahu and Trump, Churchill and Roosevelt, they're Reagan, they're Churchill, they're Reagan, they're Churchill. The globalist history consists of three people, four people. I guess that's their entire history. It's Reagan. It's definitely Churchill. It's the mustache man and And who else? I think that's about it. Maybe a little bit. You could sprinkle a little bit of Stalin in there. Maybe every now and again they mention Stalin every now and again. But it's pretty much three figures. That's their entire history. Their entire knowledge of history boils down to three people. That's it. That is it. So Trump was giving a speech to speaking to the media, and he was giving an update on the war. And he said, you know what? Everyone thinks I'm gonna get bored of this war, that I can't wage a long war. I'm gonna get bored if this becomes a long war. And he said, I don't get bored. He said, I don't get bored. And as he's saying, I don't get bored. So he's saying, I'm not going to get bored. You know, I'm not going to get bored of this. I've made it to where I am by not getting bored. And as he was saying this, he got bored and he started to talk about the curtains in the White House.
A lot of great service members here with us too in this beautiful building. Isn't it beautiful? We're adding on to the building a little bit. We're improving the building. See that nice drape? When that comes down right now, you see a very, very deep hole. But in about a year and a half from now, you're going to see a very, very beautiful building. And there's your entrance to it right there. In fact, it looks so nice, I think I'll save money on the doors because it can't get more beautiful than that. I picked those drapes in my first term. I always like gold. But I think we can save a lot of money. I just saved curtains. But, and it'll be spectacular. It'll be the most beautiful ballroom. I believe it's because I built many a ballroom. I believe it's going to be the most beautiful ballroom anywhere in the world. And when you hear all that hammering out there, you know why the First Lady is not thrilled exactly. She said, will the pile drivers ever stop? You know, they go from 6 in the morning till 11:30 in the evening. Can you imagine?
I'm not going to get bored of this. It's going to be a long war. If I have to go 4 weeks, I'll go 4 weeks, 6 weeks. I'm ready for a long war, whatever. I don't get bored. I made it as president by not getting bored. And then he gets bored and distracted. And he starts talking about the curtains in the ballroom. And finally, we have Melania Trump, who is now running the United Nations, right? Melania Trump taking center stage at the UN, the UN Security Council. The U.S. currently holds the presidency of the council, and Trump, he chose Melania to take the chair of the Security Council. So we have Melania Trump now. We have Jared Kushner. he's the chief negotiator, Kushner and Witkoff. And now we have Melania Trump, who is holding the presidency of the UN Security Council, the rotating chair at the UN Security Council. Unbelievable. It's an unbelievable world. Anyway, that's the video, everybody. TheDurant.locals.com. We are on X. We are on Rumble. We are on Telegram. Go to the Durant shop. Pick up some merch. There is a link in the description box down below. I will see everyone tomorrow. Take care. Oh, update from Cyprus. I almost forgot. Update from Cyprus. That's why I'm here in Limassol. I'm here in Limassol to see what's going on. I don't know what the vibe is like because I just arrived here. I just drove into Limassol right now. So I don't know what the vibe is like, but it's so far, it seems pretty calm and pretty chill. Greece is providing two F-16 fighter jets to Cyprus. The defense minister of Greece was in Cyprus today, so they can discuss the security situation with regards to the British bases, which are all the way down there, the Akrotiri bases. And Greece is also going to provide a ship, as will the UK, which will be able to detect incoming drones. And the president of Cyprus, Christodoulidis, he actually told the British that they should not use the bases for offensive strikes. Actually, in the treaty of 1960, the treaty of establishment in 1960 of Cyprus's independence, those bases should not be used for offensive activity, for offensive operations. It says that in the treaty. Yes, those bases are overseas British territory on the island of the Republic of Cyprus, but those bases cannot be used for offensive operations. So that's in the treaty. So we'll see if we hold Britain to that treaty, to that agreement. Anyway, that is the video, everybody. Take care.